us and them, she thought. The ones who would do well. The ones who would crawl and sweat and barely pass. Two predetermined groups. Asafa, generous and wise, leaned over and said to Shadia, "That boy, Brian, is excellent." "The one with the earring?" Asafa laughed. "The earring doesn't mean anything. He'll get the distinction. He was an undergraduate here. Got first-class honors. That gave him an advantage. He knows all the lecturers. He knows the system." So the idea occurred to her of asking Brian for the notes of his graduate year. If she strengthened her background in stochastic process and time series, she would be better able to cope with the new material they were bombarded with every day. She watched him to judge if he was approachable. He was devoid of manners. He mumbled and slouched and did not speak with respect to the lecturers. He spoke to them as if they were his equals. And he did silly things. When he wanted to throw a piece of paper in the bin, he squashed it into a ball and aimed it at the bin. If he missed, he muttered under his breath. She thought that he was immature. But he was the only one who was sailing through the course. The glossy handbook for overseas students had explained about the famous British Reserve and hinted that they should be grateful. Things were worse further south, less hospitable. In the cafeteria, drinking coffee with Asafa and the others, the picture of hospitable Scotland was something different. Badr, the Malaysian, blinked and whispered, "Yesterday our windows got smashed. My wife today is afraid to go out." "Thieves?" asked Shadia, her eyes wide. "Racist," said the Turkish girl. In the cafeteria, Brian never sat with them. They never sat with him. He sat alone, sometimes reading the local paper. When Shadia walked in front of him, he didn't smile. "These people are strange. One day they greet, the next day they don't."